You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Cleaning up a few things from earlier in the show. We talked a lot of baseball in the first hour. We'll hit some more of the Jeff Luhnow interview with Tyler and Chandler from the Crush City podcast a little later on in the show. What's so funny?
I'm sorry, real quick. Will Kunkel, he had announced that his wife was pregnant this weekend. But as I was scrolling on my timeline, I stopped on it at a point in his post where all I could read, I missed the whole part about he says so thrilled to announce we're expanding our family. I couldn't see that part. Yeah. The first line I said was, "The sex will be a surprise to all of us together." Together. And there's a picture of him and his wife. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, I read the same thing. Like, I was scrolling the same way you were, where he's like, we're expanding the family. The sex will be a surprise together. I'm like, well, no, I'm not surprised you had sex. I mean, that's how you get pregnant. Yeah, it's logical. It would seem that that would be the case. Will's cagey. I bet he did that. I bet that was intentional.
He did. He probably had gender. Yeah. He probably had written gender, and he's like, you know what's funnier?
Sex.
Yeah. Let me take these very tasteful pictures, black and white photos of my wife and me, and juice it up a little bit.
Yeah, Will's smart. I'm guessing that might have been intentional.
I'm glad I didn't send my DM. I just DM'd him. What about it? What's this about all this together sex you're talking about?
Can I get in on this somehow? Champ Slice texts in, hey, pretty eyes. That's me. Jamaica joke. When it comes to the Astros, I'm starting to think it's not you, it's me. I went to a game in Kansas City we lost. I went to the McCullers death threat game. I was at the first game of the Guardian series. I went to the game on Saturday, and Hader blew his first save of the season, and it took heroics from Zach Short to get the win. I think I'm going to have to watch from home the rest of the season. I think I am a little bit off the hook. People stopped telling me to go back to Jamaica this week.
I think whatever superstitions you might have, the old, hey, the most likely explanation is usually, the most obvious explanation is usually the actual explanation. I think having three valuable players in your lineup and three starting pitchers injured at this point is pretty much enough.
It's catching up to him, yeah.
The fact that we're talking about Kennedy Corona helping win the game. The one out of the last six games they've won, and Kennedy Corona and Zach Short played a vital and pivotal role in those. That's, there's going to be some highs and lows in that.
Yep, for sure. Talking about Xavier Nayans, the Astros' first-round pick out of Mount Vernon High School up in Washington. He's 6'4". Some people are saying because he's 6'4", the Astros will move him to third base. The talk now is he is going to play shortstop, and third base is the fallback for him. So that's the talk. Hey, Carlos Correa.
That's what they used to say about Carlos Correa. He'll be in the outfield eventually. Yeah. Nobody that tough. No 6'4" shortstop. They'll move him around.
Did you see what happened to Correa this weekend?
No, what happened?
He got his ankle turned bad. His
like a
surgically repaired ankle. No, I don't know what the eventual prognosis was, but he had to be carried off the field.
Ew.
And so there was a lot of like, okay, maybe it's time for third base or first base, somewhere where you're not. because it happened at a slide into second base. And I feel like with the third base thing, I felt like saying, well, they do slide into third also. You know,
brought up some bad memory. The Astros pitchers have been taking it on the foot and ankle recently.
Yeah.
Framber got hit hard. McCullers got hit hard the other day by Shohei, of all people.
Dude.
Of all people, I want to take one off the ankle. It's not Shohei Ohtani.
The difference between those two was, though, I thought Lance's leg would shatter into a million pieces.
Yeah.
I was zero surprised at all that Framber just stayed in the game and kept striking guys out.
Like, yeah, it was a surprise that Lance was A-OK after missing time with a freak foot injury in the weight room. Yeah, Lance was just fine after that. Well, I mean, just fine health-wise, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. So over the weekend, there are teams that are now starting to report to training camp in the NFL. We know this. We remember this from last year. The Texans were in the Hall of Fame game. They reported right about now. I think it was July 14th or 15th. The Chargers are one of the teams, Seth, participating in the Hall of Fame game. So they have reported to camp, most of their players. The deadline, well, the rookies are reporting right now. The deadline for Chargers rookies to report to camp is upon us, Ian Rappaport tweeted over the weekend. Second round wide receiver Trey Harris is officially a holdout with 30 of the 32 second round picks unsigned. Because of disagreements over guaranteed money, Harris makes the first official stand of any of these rookies. And more teams within the next week or so, including the Texans, are going to report to camp. The rookies are going to be reporting even sooner than the 23rd or 22nd. And the big hangup is being caused right now, ostensibly, by Nick Caserio guaranteeing Jaden Higgins his full second-round deal, which in the history of this particular collective bargaining agreement in place since 2011, had never happened before.
Had never happened. The Texans guaranteed Jaden Higgins, and then the Browns, who picked in the first pick in the second round, followed suit, and they guaranteed all of Corey Schwesinger's contract, and that's it so far. So the Texans set the precedent. The one player above the Texans, he got a fully guaranteed deal, and now everybody else, including the Houston Texans, is waiting to see exactly what happens. Because Ariante Ursary, the second-round pick, remains one of these unsigned players. This is my gut feel on this, and I believe you feel the same way. I think that Nick himself is just waiting to see what happens. And if he has to pay Ariante Ursary the guaranteed money, he just doesn't care.
100%.
It's no big deal. He might go ahead. That's when I could see a lot of owners out there right now cursing Nick Caserio's name for setting this precedent, or many GMs, perhaps. And then it's going to be triple that if Ariante Ursary gets the fully guaranteed contract.
Yeah, because Higgins, you could, like, the 30, there's a difference between the 34th pick and the 48th pick. The 34th pick is someone you go, all right, I mean, we're still in that range where you could argue he's a first round pick. Even with the Texans, a team that traded out of the first round, I could see this being Nick's rationale. He's our first pick. You know, we didn't pick in the first round, so he's our first pick. At a spot where it's close enough to where I'm fine. I just want to get the kid in camp. You know, I'm fine guaranteeing. Because I don't think he did this with Kamari Lassiter, and Lassiter was the 42nd pick overall last year. So I could see where, like, you know, the 34th pick, close enough for government work to where he's a first-round pick. That'd be, if I were forced to explain it to my peers, that's how I would explain it, which is, hey, man, it's two picks later. We didn't have a first-round pick. We've got the wherewithal to do it. If you guys don't have the stomach to do it, that's your problem, not mine. And oh, by the way, I'm screwing myself over, air quotes, in a way, because I have a second round pick, as you pointed out, Seth, in Ariante Ursary. If you think that Nick is screwing people over, one of the people he's screwing over by guaranteeing Jaden Higgins' contract at 34 overall is himself, who drafted Ariante Ursary at 48 overall.
And I think Caserio has shown his trend over the past couple of years is that he's very willing to dole out guaranteed money. And in the draft, he's very willing to buck tradition, too. Remember, later in the draft, because remember, Damian Pierce got more money than he was slotted for at that point, too.
That's
two
right.
Things. One, I think Nick is single-handedly trying to prove that there's no collusion agreement against guaranteed money in the NFL. So the GMs should be happy for that.
That's
but
right.
No, instead, I bet they're cursing his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Texans cap says that there might be something with... I think the combination of Tyler Shuck, the quarterback that the Saints drafted, and Derek Carr retiring, that also adds a wrinkle to all of this.
Okay.
The way without getting too complex about it, I put quarterbacks in a different bucket. So I don't know. Texans cap could go to his website or check him out on X to see his explanation. He's smarter than me.
Yeah, was Shuck was the second round pick?
Yeah.
Was he for the Saints? Yeah, I saw that. I saw Cap tweeting about Derek Carr yesterday. Either I'm like, wait, I was super confused by that. I didn't even think about Tyler Shuck. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that originally some people thought, oh, Tyler Shuck is holding things up because he wants some modification to his contract. Okay. So it might be a combination of the two. For whatever it's worth, I think Jaden Higgins getting a fully guaranteed contract, the first of only two second round picks ever to get a fully guaranteed contract.
That's a
huge part of it.
It's ever. This is the first time it's ever happened. So, whatever. Good job, Caserio. Way to make your peers uncomfortable throughout the league for a few days.
When you talk about the competitive advantage side of it, I could see also Nick in some level thinking, all right, well, look, we're going to do it. Maybe we sign Ursary, maybe we don't. But compared to the rest of the league, one of our second round picks is going to be in camp. And the only other team is going to be the Browns. Good luck, you know, parlaying that into extreme success. But it's maybe a little bit of a competitive advantage.
Maybe.
Over many of these teams that you're going to face early in the season who have their own second-round picks they'd like to get on the field.
Hell yeah. Do you see Ryan Poles got an extension over the weekend?
Good for him. It's nothing like having an extreme losing record over the course of several years and not being able to really figure it out and feel awesome about where you are at quarterback. It should earn you an extension, so good for him.
The argument Bears fans were making, because Adam Schefter tweeted about this, I think it was on Friday when it went down, Friday or Saturday. And you guys know, I mean, I'm pretty vocal about how I feel about Poles and the way he handles his business. Like, he was, for the first couple years, he was the GM, especially after he made the trade he traded that first overall pick to Carolina for a haul, and Carolina drafted Bryce Young. The guy could not find a journalist or a microphone that he didn't want to talk to. Like, Ryan Poles loved talking about Ryan Poles and how innovative he was and all these things. And then when last season was sliding into the toilet with Caleb Williams and they were losing 10 games in a row or whatever it was, you couldn't find an interview with Ryan Poles anywhere all of a sudden. He's 15-36. I say he's 15-36. The team is 15-36 since he took over as the general manager. That's not mentioned anywhere in Adam Schefter's tweets about this. Like, Ryan Poles plays the PR game better than any GM I've ever seen. Since being hired in 2022, this is Schefter. Schefter has a tweet where he announces the extension just news-wise. He signs an extension, had 2 years remaining. This puts him and Ben Johnson on the same timeline as head coach and GM. The follow-up tweet, Seth, since being hired in 2022, Ryan Poles has overseen a full-scale rebuild in Chicago, highlighted by the blockbuster trade of the number one pick in 2023 to Carolina, which helped position the Bears to land Caleb Williams the following year. Caleb Williams, who's not been good yet. That was me saying that. Poles also hired Ben Johnson this offseason, signaling a new era of Bears football built around its franchise quarterback.
That sounds like a press release.
No mention of the fact that the team has gone 15-30. They've averaged 5 wins a season his first 3 years there.
I'll tell you what, and I tweeted this out, and I think a lot of people thought I was throwing shade, and I partly was, but it is true that the biggest challenge in tanking is managing the emotions of your owner and the fan base, and then to manage that, cozy up with media members that will do things like Adam Schefter just did. As long as you invite them in, you give them access, you let them follow you around for 3 days so they can see how brilliant you are. And it's huge. And you can see certain situations where it hasn't worked. You know, the 76ers back when the former Rockets employee who was
It was Sam Hinkie.
Thank you, Sam Hinkie. Sam Hinkie didn't do that part of it really well.
No.
You know, Daryl Morey is a guy that could manage that really,
very
really
good
well.
At that.
Yeah, like you kind of invite people in to see how. Usually people don't want to see how the sausage is made. This is a situation where, no, invite people in to see how the sausage is made, because then all of your tanking looks brilliant versus the just from the outside, where a lot of people look at it and they're like, all right, great, I get it, you're resetting and everything, but you haven't won. And you're in a league where teams can turn it around very quickly.
Yeah, Chris Ballard, really good at that as well. Holds sessions with the media there to explain draft picks and look at film and things like that. It got me thinking about the Texans, just comparing the situations. And when I tweeted about the record for Ryan Poles. I had a ton of Bears fans. And this is how you can tell, Seth, that he's managed it really well in Chicago. Bears fans, by and large, sticking up for Ryan Poles with a record of 15-36 as the GM. They're saying, look, man, he inherited a horrible cap situation. He had to manage the head coach situation to get to Ben Johnson. I'm like, he hired Eberflus. What are we talking about here? All these other things. You know, he made the trade and turned into Caleb Williams, who we don't know if Caleb Williams is good yet. All these things that there were counterpoints to, I just didn't feel like arguing with Bears fans about it. My takeaway was they are sticking up heavy for a guy who's not proven anything in terms of the product on the field in three seasons. By the end of season three here, the Texans were winning the division. You know, this like I would submit that Caserio inherited a way more difficult situation than Ryan Poles between the cap, the lack of draft picks, and Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the big difference in Chicago is that Ryan Pace, not Ryan Poles, drafted Justin Fields.
Yeah.
So that's where I could see the Bears fans saying, "All right, well, you had to work through Justin Fields and making a decision on him." This is where Ryan Poles is better than Joe Shane. Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, inherited a quarterback and gave that quarterback an extension, and meanwhile shipped out Saquon Barkley. That was a disaster, and it's a miracle that he kept his job.
Yeah.
So Ryan Poles, at least it makes a little bit more sense.
The one thing they're equally good at, managing their owner, like you said. You know, different scenarios. Like Ryan Poles did it, you know, amidst failure, but was doing some good things in terms of rebuilding the team. Joe Shane just feels to me like he's somebody who would, like, Brian Daboll is going to get fired, and a lot of it. And if I had to bet, Brian Daboll, the head coach in New York, is going to get fired, and Joe Shane will keep his job.
Well, look at the Giants. Look at the similarity there, though, too. The fact that Joe Shane kept his job, dopey old legacy owner.
Yep.
And in Chicago, you got whichever McCaskey is currently running I think it's George McCaskey is currently running the show. Long known as just dopey generational wealth idiot owners. So as long as you can dupe them, that's what it was like with Matt Millen up in Detroit forever.
Yeah,
he was real good. He's really good at the cocktail parties.
Yes.
The owners loved him.
Yep. So yeah, Ryan Poles gets an extension, man. He could just a masterclass in PR up in Chicago. Few text messages, and then we'll get to acknowledge me from over the weekend. Great discussion on Luno in that segment, guys. I thought his admission that he offered Altuve for Hosmer in 2013 was very interesting. Texter's talking about the podcast Luno did over the weekend with Tyler Stafford and Chandler Rome. We'll get to that audio. We're doing a segment at, I think, 8 o'clock today. Luno's storytelling on trades that happened and didn't happen with the Astros was really fun on that podcast, I thought.
Yeah, and also just kind of the psychology of the trade deadline and trading away, how you have to be so hesitant to trade away guys like Kyle Tucker when they're young, et cetera. All of those things, it's really interesting.
Yep.
Also, a few of you fact-checked me on whether or not it's hot in the Pacific Northwest in the summer.
And
you said, Seth, you idiot, of course it's not hot up there. Listen. When I say it's hot up there, I mean, when I think about, my wife and I have been checking out property in the mountains of Peru, okay? That's the kind of cool weather I want in the summer. I want southern hemisphere. It's winter down there. I got to get the hell out of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So compared to Houston heat, yes, it's not as hot, but it's still hot. It's in the upper 80s pretty regularly.
For a big guy like you that sweats and doesn't like hot weather, it's hot out there. It's hot out there in Oregon.
I swear to God, Sean, I'm going to have like 10 acres up in the mountains of Peru. I could probably get it for a couple $1,000s. It's just going to be the travel to and from. I'm going to have to buy a couple of burros. That'll probably be more expensive than the land.
I know, than the land down there. Middle screen texts in, about Luno and AJ Hinch, the two trades that got him fired and ruined what we had. I think middle screen's talking about the Osuna trade, which didn't get anybody fired, I don't think. But the Fires trade, that brought in the person into the building who eventually would rat on everybody, and that would lead to Hinch and Luno getting fired. Ruined what we had is an interesting notion about that. If after the 2019 World Series, that was 5 years into the Luno-Hinch combination. Luno had been here longer, but the two of them had worked together for five seasons. If over the next five seasons, someone told you, let's pretend they didn't get fired, and someone said, look, this is what the next 5 years are going to look like under Luno and Hinch. You're going to have a weird COVID year. Forget about that. You're going to make it to the World Series. You're going to win a World Series. And then you're going to be in kind of a dogfight to win the division but still be a really competitive team. Would Astro fans, if Luno and Hinch were still here, have signed up for that for the next 5 years? I think that it included a World Series championship. I think yes. I think they would have signed up
for it. Oh, yeah. When I'm sacrificing those two bodies for my own personal excitement as a...
No. I'm saying if they were still here, if the sign-stealing scandal had never happened. Because Middle Screen is saying firing those two ruined what we had. You know, it ruined it, what we had. Well, yeah. What happened was, over the next 5 years, the ruination of the team included two appearances in the World Series and a World Series championship. I think even if Hinch and Luno were still here, we would have been okay with the next 5 years. You know, like even if it had happened on their watch, I don't know that it ruined it. Now we'll see. It's a thin minor league system now. You know, maybe that part got ruined. You know, maybe they made some that the period where you had no GM was not very good. I just don't like that it. Like when I hear someone say it ruined it, it means the team went into the toilet 2 years later. And the fact is, they've been a really good team for 5 years. I don't think it ruined it. Is my point. Over the whole thing.
I got mad at stupidity on social media this weekend, which I'm trying not to get as mad about stupidity and just accept that some people are just stupid. Mm-hmm. But somebody got up in my mentions about, I can't even remember what the topic was, but somebody brought up a trash throws. This was a Padres fan, you know, talking about how the trash throws are cheaters and they'll be out of the playoffs early again this year, as per usual. I'm like, last year was the first time they didn't make the ALCS in 8 years.
Yeah, that guy's just dumb.
What on earth are you talking about?
He's just dumb.
As per
usual. So you engaged this person? Did you tell him you said
it? I know, straight? I let it go. I let it go. Every time I've deleted two snarky replies this morning already. I'm just like, nope, just let it go.
That's good,
just let
man.
It go.
Yeah,
Just let it go. What am I going to, not going to feel better about it afterwards whatever. No. I just let it go.
Dude, I told you, I had a couple of those this weekend. Like your three salvos back and forth into it, and you're like, I'm talking about me. Like, what am I doing?
right.
You know, like, what am I doing?
Especially on social media, because all it does, even if you win your first point, the goalposts just shift and whatever. I did respond to that person, actually. I remember now. But I just did it. I just laid
factual.
Out the facts, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and just let it go. I'm not going to check the reply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yep. All right, let's do acknowledge me. Let's acknowledge big performances and noteworthy things from over the weekend. It is an admittedly light time for headlines and big things, but we found some over the weekend. The way it works, I'll say a name. And Ben Gary, our producer, will hit the Roman Reigns hotkey. and we will acknowledge that person for good things they've done. I'm going to start with Joe Espada here at the All-Star break. All-Star break, Joe Espada. When the Astros were 18-18, Seth, if you had showed me what the roster would look like on July 14th, don't tell me what the record is. Just tell me, Genie comes out of the lamp and says, hey, here's what the roster looks like on July 14th. When they were 18-18, and if I had known on July 14th they'd have this many minor league guys playing, I would have accepted a 500 record at the All-Star break.
It's especially given what, you know, shock jocks and talking head morons like myself were saying at the beginning of the season. This is what I would say, Sean. Remember back when I would say this? Listen, they can't possibly have as bad the injury luck that they had last year. Couldn't possibly be as
It's worse. It's worse.
Oh, yeah, I would take this in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I would have sold family members off for this.
Would have? For 16 games over 500?
Certain select few. Yes.
Yeah. That's. I mean, 16 games is a lot. I mean, I might even sell off ones that I like for 16 games over 500. But kudos to Joe Espada, who, you know, in his first year as manager, they got off to a super slow start. Maybe some of the lessons he learned in that first season are helping him kind of manage this situation. But I think he deserves a lot of credit. A.J. Hinch is the favorite for manager of the year right now, ironically, in the American League on the odds board. But Joe Espada is number two on the board right now. So good job, Joe Espada, in his second season.
Hey, the Tigers got swept these past few days, and I would have felt a lot better about it if it weren't the Mariners.
I know, they got swept.
But other than that, yeah, it's a little dose of, oh yeah, I remember, this stuff happens in baseball.
Well, you know what? If you're someone, though, who feels like the Astros, if you're still real confident and you feel like, well, the division will sort itself out. Those guys will never catch us, but we got to get that one seed in the American League, then the Mariners did you a favor. They kept the Tigers in the windshield for you there. So, you know, it all depends on how confident you are in what the Astros can do in the second half. Easy schedule, I will point that out. Dominican Sue, he retired over the weekend. The one-year anniversary of his father's death, he retires. He put up a long post on social media. And Dominican Sue is probably best known for the period of time right after he got into the league for being two things. One, a really, really dominant defensive player. And two, a really, really dirty defensive player at times, including a swift kick in the nards to Matt Schaub on Thanksgiving Day back in 2012. I think that's what most people here remember him for.
Yes. And it was always the difference between Ndamukong Suh in an interview versus how he was on the football field always fascinated me, because he's a really intelligent guy, and you watch the interviews and you're like, this would never be a guy who pulls a lot of Draymond Green type tactics.
No.
You know, not at all. He's got some kind of financial podcast on The Athletic now.
He does.
I don't know if you've seen that.
I have. I haven't listened to it, but I've seen it, yeah.
So, did he play last year? He didn't play last year, did
he? I don't know. He didn't play last year. So, this is him officially submitting the paperwork. Three-time All-Pro, first team. Two-time All-Pro, second team. Largely in the first 5 years of his career. All the All-Pro teams he made, Seth, were before he signed the big deal with the Dolphins. And then he went from being an All-Pro to being just a really good football player. He was really good at the end of his career at picking when and where to play football. He played in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady, won a Super Bowl, played half a season in Philly because he's a veteran. A vet right there.
Brought it, just kind of bided his time, waited, and picked the right spot.
Played in another Super Bowl with them in 2022, so he got really good at that.
You know, a lot of veteran players will say, hey, you got to be careful if you start trying to ring chase, because the chances of you picking the right team are, unless you're going to the Chiefs or something in any given year, it's pretty slim.
Yeah.
But he did it the right way. He did what I was hoping JJ was going to do, which is wait around until midway through the season. And then, hey, if the Texans or the Steelers or the Packers, somebody that you've got some kind of tie to is right there, then just go ahead and jump on in, bro.
Did you see JJ on social media this weekend?
Was he tearing into the NFLPA?
No. Well, he did have a tweet about it. That's not what I'm talking. Yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. It looked like he and his family went to Big Sky Country somewhere to go to a wedding and took a lot of pictures, did a lot of things with the kids and stuff like that. There's a picture of him, I think, I can't remember if he's holding the baby or holding Koa, his two-year-old, his toddler, but he's in some sort of swimming pool or body of water. It looks like AI made him. He is like lean and chiseled now, like just standing there with a six pack. Yeah, like he is.
Well, he had said before last year that 2024 was the last year he would even consider possibly playing.
He wasn't lying. There's no way that body is getting out on the edge in an NFL game anytime soon. He looks great.
Maybe he could play outside Sam linebacker. Maybe or something.
A tight end. Yeah, he's caught passes.
No, he's totally done. Yeah. I think he's going to throw himself into being a color commentator.
He'll be good at it too. He'll be good at it. All right, attorneys. Why am I acknowledging attorneys? Well, these are very specific attorneys. The attorneys are the only ones on this whole college football, college sports agreement that came down. You know, the settlement, the House versus NCAA settlement that came down, where as part of it they created this college sports commission, a clearinghouse run by Deloitte that's going to look at all the NIL deals and approve them that come through. They're 2 weeks into this thing with this clearinghouse. It is a mess. It's a disaster. The clearinghouse has said that NIL collectives are no longer valid, which all the big schools have an NIL collective. It's a mess. The only person making seamless hand over fist money in all this are the lawyers.
Yeah.
The judge in the settlement, the judge in the case handling the litigation, awarded the attorneys for the players, past and present, a one-time payment of $20 million for the case, $480 million of the back pay that the players are getting. They're getting a couple billion in back pay going back to 2016. The lawyers get their cut of that, and then they get 1% of the go-forward money for X amount of time, which is about $250 million. The lawyers representing the players are going to make roughly $750 to $800 million.
How many lawyers are there?
I don't know. I like to think there's like three. I have no idea. But it's you know how many you need for $800 million to not feel absurd? It's almost $1 billion that these lawyers are going to make.
You know what? I told you before, I've made the comparison before, that the NCAA right now feels a little bit like immediately after the collapse of the Soviet Union, where all of a sudden it's just wide open. Hey, capitalism, good luck.
Yeah. Smack them on the butt and say, get in there.
There's a lot that goes into that, you know? It's not so simple. And what happens over time is oligarchs seize control. So now I guess the lawyers are the new oligarchs of the newly found country of capitalist NCAA.
College sportsy.
And everybody can feel great about it. Everybody's happy when the lawyers get paid.
Oh, they're thrilled. They're thrilled, yeah. Jacob Mizorowski. Everybody got up in their feelings about this, especially the Phillies over the weekend. If you don't know who the Miz is, he is the Milwaukee phenom, starting pitcher, 6'7". He's thrown, well, as of when he got selected for the All-Star game over the weekend, at that point he'd played in 5 games and pitched 25 and two-thirds innings. Now, they were a really good, impressive, fun 25 and two-thirds innings. He's striking out a bunch of guys. He had a pitcher's duel with Paul Skeens during one of his first 5 starts. He's been a big story. He got named to the All-Star game, and the Phillies, who have a couple of pitchers in Ranger Suarez and who am I thinking of? I want to say Gonzalez might be the other one.
And it's important to point out that...
Sanchez is the other one, yeah.
It's important to point out that the commissioner named him, that this was a commissioner's selection. This was not that he slid in because of voting or anything else like that. So very clearly, strike while the iron is hot, PR type of move.
Yes, Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez of the Phillies both have better numbers, and by the way, have been pitching all season, is the big thing, than Mizorowski. But they picked Mizorowski. Now, Suarez reportedly was offered a spot in the All-Star game if he would commit to actually pitching in it. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. So, like, I have a hard time getting angry at the commissioner about that if I'm the Phillies. And then Sanchez didn't make it. They picked Mizorowski. But the Phillies did end up giving Sanchez his $50,000 All-Star bonus anyways, just, you know, kind of being nice. Kind of like when the Texans gave Dalton Schultz his bonus for catching 60 balls when he only caught 59 balls that year. Like, all right, you were close. Probably should have made the All-Star team. Sanchi, here you go. I don't care. I don't care nearly as much as some people do about this. The All-Star Games, now more than ever, the All-Star Game is just a show, you know?
Well, I do, though. If you're going to claim, if you're going to try to do all these different things to make the All-Star Game more engaging and everything and more important, I get that you maybe bring more eyeballs or excitement and highlight your young players. But it just, it feels like you're going completely away from the actual intended purpose of the All-Star game, which is honoring guys who have played really well over the course of an entire season.
And I will admit, if Mizurowski, if Milwaukee were in the American League and they did that and Framber Valdez still hadn't made the All-Star game, I'd probably be pretty pissed this morning. So I will admit that. You know,
why is Uvalde, he's got a 1.58 ERA right now.
Yeah.
And there was I didn't really see him on a lot of snub lists or anything.
I heard
the Rangers broadcasters say about how it was a snub, but it wasn't. Is it just innings pitched?
He hasn't pitched enough innings to qualify for the ERA title yet. He's been out. And I'm not saying
that's for the ERA title.
No, but
he's pitched 91 innings.
Yeah.
It's not like he has. I mean, there's guys that have won the Cy Young with 170 innings pitched.
Yeah. No, I'm using that just to illustrate. He hasn't pitched as many innings as and the AL is stacked.
Yeah,
the AL is stacked. Yeah. So that's why. All right, last one. Trevor Ogilvie, who is he? He was the viral punching bag that Seth and I sort of gave the play-by-play for of the video. If you haven't seen it yet, it's easy to go find. Bunch of guys up in Canada on a golf course in Alberta, and one group is in front of the other. The group in front is playing slow. They're hammered. It turns out they were playing 36 holes that day. And they got into
And they're drunk enough that you could see why pace of play might have been a real issue.
There
at
you
some
go.
Point. Yeah.
Yep. So the two groups stop at a hole, and the group behind starts arguing with the group in front. The group in front included the person whose voice you're about to hear. But his name is Trevor Ogilvie. Looks like just a regular dude. Starts getting into it. Turns into a major trash talker. Like, he is trash talking big. And then he decides to charge one of the guys in the group behind him. And, like, take a run at him. It turns out that person was ex-NHL goon Nick Tarnaski, who is one of these guys that had, like, triple the number of penalty minutes as games played in the NHL.
Yeah, he is an enforcer.
He's an enforcer, yeah. So, last played professionally in 2017. So, he's big, strong dude, but, you know, definitely the beer belly.
When he played, he was 6'2", 24. It looks like right now he's probably about 6'2", 265 or so.
Yeah.
But looks like a former athlete.
Could still swing, as we learned.
And the dude that attacks him over and over again is much, much smaller than him.
Much smaller than him. Got thrown into a lake to start out with, Ogilvie did. And then he crawls out of the lake like some sort of zombie. That rose from the dead. Tarnaski literally starts punching him in the face and yelling "bam" with every punch. He punches him five times in the face, bang, and then he stops punching him. And then Ogilvie takes another run at him, and Tarnaski just uses Ogilvie's momentum to hip toss him about 15 feet towards the lake. It was it was not a good day for Ogilvie. The video went viral. It's a hilarious video because everybody survives. Ogilvie apologized on social media for his conduct.
It's around the golf.
I got it all in.
Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Yep, that's me, guys. The guy that got dropped like a bucket of balls in a pond. Not my finest moment, I know. Looks real bad. Played 36 holes of golf. We drank way too much, and my mouth ran faster than my brain. All jokes aside, guys, I'd like to apologize to all the folks on the course, anyone caught up in it, and anyone who had to deal with me that day. I lost my cool, and I've learned from it. Just one of those days where you should have kept the cart on the path, you know? Stay hydrated, keep your stick on the ice, maybe stick to 18.
Okay. Stay hydrated, keep your stick on the ice, maybe only play 18.
In that clip, at least, he didn't apologize to Nick Tarnaski himself, the guy that was beating him down
for
over and over
hurting
again.
Nick Tarnaski's hand.
Oh, I watched that. I don't care about Ogilvie. All right, he got drunk. He tried to take on a much larger guy than himself who knew what he was doing. It wasn't like Ogilvie was some former Golden Gloves boxer or MMA fighter who's taking on a big doofus.
No.
He's taking on a guy that knows what he's doing, mm-hmm. who's much larger than him. The weight classes are there for a reason. It's Ogilvie's friend that kept imploring Tarnaski to stop.
Yeah.
When Tarnaski barely moved, he was just standing there repeatedly as Ogilvie kept coming after him. And Ogilvie's friend is going up to Tarnaski saying, just stop. Just leave him alone. Like, leave him alone. He's coming back for more. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. Yeah, that guy was terrible.
You know?
Ogilvy's friend should apologize for being a wuss and being, a, you know, like being, like, he, yeah, like, he, that's that was not Tarnaski's fault. Now, could Tarnaski have only punched him once instead of five times? Maybe, you know, but.
I know, yeah, I would like to think so, but no, I mean, what are you doing? Somebody keeps coming at you.
That's true.
I guess he could have wrestled him into the ground and just held him there until he tired out.
Yeah.
But he went into hockey player mode because he grabbed the jersey, the golf shirt, and that's when all the Canadians, of course, knew immediately that was Nick Tarnaski. Us down here in the lower 48, if we're not in a hockey city, we're like, guy looks big, but people were like, oh, that's a hockey player. Like, it looked exactly like a hockey player grabbing another dude's jersey and then just raining down overhand rights on him.
Last played professionally in 2017, last played in the NHL in 2010. Mm-hmm. Probably felt kind of good for Tarnaski. That's why I wouldn't apologize to him. Probably felt kind of good for him. He doesn't get to get out and punch like that anymore, you know? Like, it's been 8 years.
You know who I want to see go versus Tarnaski? Hack Wilson. Hack Wilson. They showed the graphic, I think it was on Fox, on the Fox broadcast, where they showed that Altuve had surpassed Hack Wilson for having the most home runs by a player 5'6" or shorter. Yeah. And you see this picture of Hack Wilson from the 1920s, and this is a dude that could have been a hockey enforcer.
Oh, yeah.
He's 5'6", but about 5'6" wide as well. Just a square jaw and a huge neck and everything. So I went into a little bit of a Hack Wilson rabbit hole. Sad story. He was a barroom brawler with drinking and womanizing issues. Okay. Ended up dying when he was 48 years old.
Yeah, it's a good 48 though, man.
But when he was done playing, he was, you know, Hall of Famer. He had the record for home runs in the NL for a long time. And he just it was a sad state of affairs afterwards. But that was a guy that probably a lot of people in bars thought, here's this little Hack Wilson is the guy that you look at. And don't make the mistake of thinking like, hey, he's 5'6". I'm going to kick his ass.
Yeah.
Because it's extra embarrassing when Hack Wilson just sends you to the hospital.
191.
And then takes your lady, apparently.
191 RBIs in a season. He has the record, Hack Wilson, for the Cubs in 1930. That record ain't going down anytime soon. All right. Oh, wow. Payne and Pendergast were over. But we had to acknowledge people. There were a lot of people to acknowledge.
Dude, it's like July 14th or something.
Yeah, we're good.
I don't care. Isn't this French Independence Day?
It's Bastille Day. It is. Yeah,
Bastille
it is. It's Bastille Day. Yeah. Good job, Seth.
I took French for 2 years in
high
school.
I took it for five. Ugh. Comment les Texans feel about the description? No, wait. How do the Texans fans feel about this description of Nick Caley's offense from John Metchie? How does this make you feel? We'll let you hear it coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world. Points of interest along the trail. And offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. How do Texan fans feel about this description of Nick Caley's offense? This was from John Metchie, who was on Texans All Access last week with the interview ran last week with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. This was John Metchie talking about the new Texans offense.
It's good. It's good. I relate to it a lot. I like it. It's very similar to an offense I had in with Bill O'Brien at Alabama my last year. And a little bit of that Sark offense too, because of the West Coast. So it's been pretty good for us to adjust to it. It's been pretty easy. It's fun for the receivers. It's our type of offense for sure. It gives a lot of power to the offensive players. Mm-hmm. You know. A lot of trust with the offensive players, so we've been enjoying.
Okay, so we should point out Steve Sarkisian. He was the OC at Alabama during Metchie's time there.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think when sometimes people try to forecast or predict exactly what Nick Caley's offense is going to look like, it's hazardous because he's been in two different places. He spent most of his time in New England. He's most recently been with the Rams. So two different worldviews, two different coaching personalities, and just like most NFL offenses these days. They're mutt offenses. It's hard to say, oh, yeah, that's exactly a Kubiak-Shanahan-style system, or that's exactly this, that, or the other. I think the big thing when he talks about giving a lot of power to the players, especially on the receivers, does the quarterback have command at the line of scrimmage? Is the quarterback going to help direct pass protection? It sounds very much like that will be the case, or at least that's what they're working towards, which is a stark difference from last year. And then when it comes to the receivers, what are they doing to adjust the coverages? How much are you tweaking things based on pre-snap look and what happens? I think there's going to be more of a level of complexity to this offense. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge for the receivers. That's a challenge for the quarterback. It's something that I've always liked. If you can do it right, it's harder to do it right. It's harder to execute. The one thing about a Gary Kubiak-type system or a Shanahan-type system is the quarterback doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of command, but it does because when run properly, if you're trying to execute everything right, it can take an average quarterback and turn him into a Matt Schaub. Mm-hmm. It can take whatever Brock Purdy is and turn him into Brock Purdy. I don't want to say he's an average quarterback, but you know what I mean? Guys play above and beyond what your expectations are. My concern with it was always that it feels like it puts a glass ceiling on just how far they can go. Because when it comes to the stuff that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and those guys do pre-snap and the control they have over the offense, that's not quite in the classic Shanahan system. So with if you look at Deshaun Watson and the way that Bill O'Brien brought Deshaun Watson along, it was the first couple years, it was a grind. It was trying to, you know, figure out a bunch of this stuff, the more complex part of the game. By 2020, Deshaun really had it. Mm-hmm. Deshaun just understood the system and was doing some really, really good things with it. But obviously, there were a few things that went awry.
Yeah.
I think, CJ is 100% capable mentally of doing all this. Now it's just a matter of getting the reps. Yeah. And he's learned a lot of lessons in the first couple years, but now he's got to learn a new offense. And there is, it's like learning to drive a manual transmission for the first time.
Yeah.
You could be hell on wheels with an automatic, but if you've never driven a manual transition, you're going to have to get some things into the muscle memory.
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing that would trigger people from that Metchie audio we just played was the mere mention of the name Bill O'Brien and talking about Bill O'Brien's offense.
Yeah.
I would point out, Metchie played for Bill O'Brien at Alabama. Bill O'Brien was running Alabama's offense at Alabama. He wasn't running Bill O'Brien's offense at Alabama.
Yeah, right? And I wonder, though, too. I mean, he was, but he probably introduced some of his own elements into it.
Sure.
And the other thing about CJ in adapting to that is that he did have a lot of command at the line of scrimmage at Ohio State. And at Ohio State, they'll run option routes. And so an option route is just where the receiver is going to change his route based on what coverage and what leverage he sees.
Mm-hmm.
So the quarterback's got to be on the same page. If you're thinking about your three three wide receivers, and each one of them might be running two or three different routes based on the coverages. That's a whole lot of beautiful mind stuff going on in your head about where the options are and everything. That's the part that it takes a while. And yeah, I you know what, Sean, I'm guilty of this. I honestly didn't even think about the fact that he brought up Bill O'Brien would probably also would trigger people in terms of like, wait a second. Oh, I thought we got rid of Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say the same thing I say about Nick Caserio coming from New England. They did obviously a lot of really, really good things in New England, and I don't mind him doing things that they did in New England as long as he's also doing things his own way and being his own man. And Caserio has very much been his own man. He's done some things in the draft that are starkly different from the way the Patriots operated in the draft.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you think Bill Belichick would have guaranteed Jaden Higgins' whole second round contract if he didn't have to?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
And Belichick had an affinity for small college guys, where Casario's been the exact opposite.
Exact opposite. Yeah, it's all power.
Casario wants a track record of guys performing against as much good competition as possible, including in practice, so you just have a bigger sample size. So by all means, take the good lessons that you learned from New England, but then you're going to put your own spin on it and be your own man, and I think Caserio has done that.
Jeff Luno sat down with Chandler Roman and Tyler Stafford from the Crush City podcast last week. Some really good audio. We've played some of it already in the show, but the part that I just love these. This is why I like when Caserio gets into anecdote mode on our show. GMs have great stories if you let them tell stories. He had a couple of stories, Luno did, about trades that didn't happen, including one massive one that might have changed the number of World Series championships this team had if it had gone through. Trade anecdotes from Jeff Luno coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but... Scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.